Ladies and gentlemen, it's the time once again for the Andy and Amanda Show. It's the free flowing Freaky Friday program. Sorry. We're not quite sure. Overlooking something. Amanda, love. And in Los Angeles, California, in our Hollywood studios, overlooking Rocky the Squirrel and Mutt and Jeff Blue Jay Birds, Andy Kimball. I'm joining the show as Andy and Amanda discuss topics such as sex, intimacy, romance, love. Okay, some other things too. What? We don't know. Maybe the news. Yes, politics. The weather. Call the show. 515-605-9888. So at least they have something to talk about. Call now. Lines are open. 515-605-9888. It's the Andy and Amanda Show.
Hey, hello, 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 hello. We're here. We are live on the Andy Amanda Show. We don't have Amanda, but I think we do have Cornell. Cornell's here, right?
Hey, I'm here, Andy, right. I'm here.
How we it's doing, Friday. Man? I know it is the Friday show. We got a text from Amanda. She's having some internet issues down there where she has been staying in Mexico. So I'm not sure she's going to be joining us or not. She might be. But anyway, I'm going to get right to a clip here because this will address some things we're going to talk about. And if we can play this, we don't have to talk about them. So I'm just going to play this clip real quick. So I'm not sure how it came out, but I haven't heard it yet. But let's take a listen.
Let's do it.
Things that I wanted to share with you. According to Pew Research, the net worth of white families in 2013 was $141,000. For black families, it was $11,000, even less than the $19,000 it was in 2007. According to economist Edward Wolf of the University of New York, excluding vehicles and other durables, the median black family worth is just $1,700, while 40% of black families have zero or negative wealth. White family worth, in terms of financial worth, is 69 times more than that of black families. Given this disparity, how can you argue that racism is not a driving factor in income inequality?
Because it has nothing to do with race and everything to do with culture. And when you have a culture that doesn't... And when... You know what? Explain to me. You explain to me why black kids aren't graduating high school. Explain that one to me. Explain to me why black kids are shooting each other in rates significantly higher than whites are shooting each other. Explain to me why 13% of the population is responsible for 50% of the murder. Explain to me why the number of blacks and black kids in prison, not for innocent reasons, not for walking down the street and getting pulled into a prison, is so high. Explain, if it has nothing to do with culture, explain to me why the single motherhood rate in the black community jumped from 20% to 70% in the same course of time that the civil rights movement has made such tremendous strides. Is America more racist now than it was in 1960? And if it is, please explain to me how that happened.
Black History Month, you find ridiculous. Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month?
Well,
come on. Tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay. Which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh. Why not?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
No.
All right. I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism?
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman.
Why do you believe you're right about trans people given the American Psychological Association, American Medical Association, American Psychoanalytic Association? I can go on.
Billions, trillions, trillion, million, 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 billion, 400 billion suns.
that are very prominent and govern the existing like health government or health industries within like the major yeah. Western countries. And all of these associations have
billions, billions, trillions, trillion, million, 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 billion, 400 billion suns, billion, trillion, million, billion, trillions
of doctors, sociologists, psychologists, and with PhDs in their respective fields backing the idea that sex and gender are different, effectively gaining the medical consensus for sex and gender being two different concepts, yet you have a different opinion.
Okay, so sex and gender are two different concepts, but gender is tied to biology. So one of the big problems that you see in sort of the argument in favor of trans rights is this notion that gender and sex are completely separable. They are not completely separable. If they are completely separable, then this means that identifying people by their subjective gender really has no relevance as to whether they are a male or a female.
So smart. You think you can tell a man from a woman?
Male and female are biological terms. So using terminology like male and female to describe a self-perception of maleness or femaleness is sort of a bizarre way of arguing whether a thing is a man or a woman. So here's my question. It's an argument that my friend Matt Walsh likes to make. What is a woman? Define what a woman is without reference to the word woman, please.
So this is actually a logical fallacy called a red herring. You're asking me a question in different or in order to actually challenge my question without actually
answering it. No, it isn't. I'm saying that
my...
it really is not. I'm saying that biology, I'm agreeing with you that the notion of gender, which is effeminateness or masculinity, can be different from biology in the sense that biology is just pure male or pure female. But to suggest that there is such a thing as an effeminate male is not to suggest that an effeminate male is now a woman. Transgenderism makes the argument that if you believe that you are a woman, you are therefore a woman. Or if you believe that you are a man, you are therefore a man. I disagree with this. There are objective measures as to whether you're a man or a woman. There are objective measures as to whether you're male or female. There's certainly a spectrum when with regard to effeminateness versus masculinity. That's certainly true. That does not change the underlying sexual dichotomy that is the basis for all human reproduction.
It's a Democrat hoax.
Hey,
yes,
folks.
It is.
It is.
Hello, boys.
Welcome. How you doing? Amanda made it. Amanda made it. We got a message from you that you were having some issues down there. Yeah.
Yeah,
and you're back.
I was like, oh, my God. Yeah,
Andy will mm-hmm. kick you off again.
Yeah. I'll explain the situation.
What is that?
Just briefly. So, mm-hmm. I, as you know, boys, I've been trying to get a new computer to do all my work mm-hmm. on. So I managed to get an updated Apple iMac, and the one I've got, the model I've got, is not the most expensive one, but it, obviously they are still expensive. So, but I expected them to have normal USBs on the back, and the headset that I use has a USB and an audio jack. And I was mm-hmm. praying, I was like, please let this microphone work on just an audio jack, and it does. Hallelujah,
yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah, yeah, you sound fine.
Yeah.
Sounds fine.
Awesome. Thank you. That's
you know,
wonderful.
Look,
okay.
You know, listen, this is the, you know.
Listen, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're absolutely right. It is. Hey, this is the Friday show. We have a weekend ahead of us. I can't believe it's another Friday show. We have Amanda Love. This is the Andy Amanda Show. To get on board here, you dial 515-605-9888. Amanda is in Mexico, not in the UK, as the introduction improperly said in the beginning there. She's in Mexico. She'll be going back to UK in July, and we'll be once again from the UK and the USA right now, or Mexico, USA. And Cornell Butler, of course, who introduced us and put this whole thing together over 2 years ago, is in on the East Coast floating around there in Delaware. And
he's floating. he's levitating off the ground.
Yeah, right.
Not like they're, just starting.
No, yeah. No. No, over 2 years now, 2 years, you know. And you know why? Because
I like my hips to be held, and I like to so I can still move back and forth, and work it twerk it.
It keeps us going.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Oh. Oh yes. So what's going on, guys? How's everybody doing?
Here in the East Coast, it's been raining all day, and it's been very cold, so it's like, oh man.
Oh, darling. I'm on the opposite end of that. I'm overheated right now, and the temperature's going up again tomorrow, so I'm kind of nervous. Because, you know, I can just about tolerate this heat today, and it's going to go up about another 5 degrees tomorrow. So it's the whole weekend is going to be mega hot. I shouldn't complain, because if I was in the UK, I'd be complaining it was cold. It's funny how humans find a way to complain about the weather. We're never happy. And don't get me wrong, I'm enjoying wearing shorts and shorter, you know, tops and stuff like that, and just feeling like so much freer in that sense, walking around bare feet. And it's beautiful, and being out in the sun and getting all that vitamin D. But I think it's the humidity that's kicking my ass right now. It's the stickiness that you get, and you feel like you're suffocating sometimes, and it's just like that part I could do without. But, you know.
Now that's what Andy going to say about California.
I know, he's going to tell us it's perfect.
I'm hearing you guys. Oh, it's so hot and humid. Oh, it's cold, miserable, and rainy. I'm not going to say a word. I've invited you both.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The sun gets in my eyes. Did I tell you guys, you know that festival I told you guys I played a festival last weekend, the Aquatic Music Festival here. And there was an outbreak of COVID from performers, attendees, outdoor stages, indoor stages. A whole bunch of people ended up with COVID this week from attending or playing that festival.
Wow.
And isn't that something?
Wow. It really is. That's crazy.
It is. It is. And the surprising thing to me is, and I don't know what strain, I lost count of the strains, the apocalyptic one, or the Obamacron, whatever they are. I don't know what the latest breed is. I don't know.
Transformers every time.
The rescue breed. I don't know. Whatever the latest one is, but it's amazing to me, because this festival was last weekend, and people started coming down and getting sick, and a lot of positive pregnancy tests. I mean, excuse me, positive. Not pregnancy test.
Oh my goodness!
Positive or what are we talking about?
They're not in the state where the abortion thing is an issue.
COVID test. Yeah. COVID tests. So suddenly, but evidently, a lot of people who attended this thing, performers and attendees alike, have been coming down with shit. You know. Hey, speaking of that. Abortion thing, real quick. This is something that just came off the wire yesterday.
Okay.
Michigan, the Attorney General for the state of Michigan said, no matter what happens with the Supreme Court ruling, they will not prosecute anybody who gets an abortion, nor will they prosecute any abortion provider in the entire state of Michigan. 7 county attorney generals also, including Detroit, Ann Arbor, the bigger counties in Michigan, have, even within the state, have said independently in their counties they will not prosecute anybody for having an abortion, or any provider for providing an abortion in women's health care services.
Wow.
It ain't going to happen. They don't care. They don't care what the Supreme Court does. You know, they can go ahead and say, hey, abortion is illegal. Well, we're not going to prosecute it.
Yeah.
You can't make us prosecute it. We're not going to do it.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to see a turnout in November, because regardless of party, especially women voters, millennials, more progressive, you know, many, you know, 69, let's just call it 70% of the population is pro-woman's choice. I'm not going to say pro or not pro regarding abortion, but pro-woman's choice. And this issue resonates very heavily within that population. And you're going to see a massive turnout, I believe, in the midterms in November, which are going to give the Democrats a majority in the Senate, even a bigger one in the House, they're going to be able to legislate and protect Roe v. Wade by a matter of law. The Supreme Court won't be able to do a damn thing about it. And since when has the Supreme Court been a legislative body? That's what we're seeing here, and I think that pretty much sucks. You know, Elizabeth Warren has a bill right now that she's trying to massage into the House for vote that would provide four more Supreme Court justices. The way the Supreme Court was designed was X amount of justices for X amount of population or voting regions of the country, whatever it is. Anyway, it's the population, those regions have grown so disproportionately since that design that there's actually a vacancy of four more justices than we have that you can legally put on the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
And I remember when during the election, one of the campaign issues from the Republicans was, oh, Biden's going to pack the Supreme Court. Biden's going to pack because Trump put all his, you know, these folks that got in front of the confirmation hearings when asked about Roe v. Wade. They said it's been the law for 50 years. The law is the law. Law is the law. You got to respect the law. Then they lie. Supreme Court judges get on the Supreme Court and lie because they said something else during the nomination hearings, the confirmation hearings, excuse me. That the law is the law. We're not going to interfere with the law. The law is the law. As I was saying, part of the big scare on the GOP was, oh, the Democrats are going to pack the Supreme Court. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, I hope they do. I hope they do. I don't know if that's going to happen.
You know. Wow.
Anyway, let's talk about margaritas. So it was Cinco de Mayo yesterday. I had enchiladas for lunch, and today I had burritos for lunch.
Ooh, and, I'm tired.
Hey, man. And, Cornel, how about you? Did you celebrate Cinco de Mayo?
Yes, I did yesterday. I drank me a margarita, and guess what? My wife made some pizza muffins.
Oh, wow.
Republicans love it.
They do.
Yeah. Pizza muffins.
That sounds so cool.
Ugh.
Yes.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
My goodness. I'm wanting them.
And all pizza muffin, you put the all the ingredients of a pizza, like, mushrooms and all that stuff, and then you take the sauce and dip after it comes out the oven and it's heated up, you dip it in the tomato sauce. It's so delicious, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice and tight after you're inside of it.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Yes.
Depends what you do with it, I guess.
I almost think after I said I'm not going to eat no more muffins tonight.
That sounds delicious, though, like my mouth is watering.
A muffin in my mouth.
He'll do it the first day he gets in, he'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember what I actually ate yesterday. How bad is that? I can't remember.
Hmm.
That is, but I do have a homemade margarita. Right now.
Oh, you sent a picture of it. You sent a picture of one yesterday.
I will send one on the work chat. And for anyone listening, if our wonderful coordinator, the greatest man I know, alongside you, Andy, of course.
I was going to say. You know,
because I like cucumbers. I'm the only one. I like cucumbers.
If he can be so kind as to show our listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I sent it to the work chat so you boys can see.
I gotcha.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Ooh, looking good.
Yeah.
Yes, I know, right?
Yes.
I got a question. What are you guys doing over the weekend? Anybody got any special plans?
Well, I'm going to take my dog. She goes to Bow Wow. It's a place that train dogs and everything, how to sit, how to do. And after that, back to whiskey. No.
Oh, well, I don't know what I'm going to be doing. Probably kind of staying out the sun a bit, but I don't know. I think we're planning to go out tomorrow to possibly get some bits. So we shall see. But I think it's going to be a fairly relaxed weekend. And I still got to set some stuff up on this computer to get ready for work on Monday. So, it's going to be a nice weekend.
I'm going to go out and try to meet some nice people. But
you are physically repulsive.
So that becomes great. I'm going to try. Thanks. You know, just really.
Oh, no.
No respect.
They're
none.
Lying.
None. Yeah. You know? But anyway, I'm probably going to head down to the beach.
That'd be so beautiful.
That's gorgeous. I'll send you some photos. We should put them up. It's beautiful. Yes. Depends which beach. They're all beautiful. There's so many beaches to choose from here in Southern California. But
most of all,
I'm going to grab my guitar. I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I feel so in the mood.
I am too. I feel like playing a song so I can go make it. Yeah. Thank you. I'm going to.
You're making a margarita.
I wonder if I.
What are you drinking, Cornell? Got a beer?
What'd you say?
So what are you drinking, darling?
Well, I'm definitely smoking another cigar. And today I'm drinking this new Mountain Dew Zero.
Pretty good?
Not really. I need to really, like, yo, dude, this thing is like, yuck.
I love the original Mountain Dew. It's just, it's yummy. But I don't drink it too often. But when I do, I really enjoy it. But I know in the U.S. you've got multiple flavors, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I get jealous of that, really, because the U.S. has so many various flavors. Like, we took ages to get various flavors of Oreo cookies, okay? I'm like, what's the deal with that? Seriously? Mm. Come on. And it's the same with Mountain Dew, you know? So
you have Mountain Dew down there. You do have Mountain Dew in Mexico, right?
Yeah, but it's I think there's two different types now that we have. You've probably got a massive of flavors there, but I'm so in love with the original one. I've obviously not got to taste all the others, but I'm sure they're yummy.
Yeah, we have. Do you have Dr. Pepper down there?
Oh yes, I love that. I love Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, I
love Dr. Pepper.
I'm going to go to I'm headed over to Las Vegas. I'm going to go see if I can find
8% of Americans believe Elvis is still alive.
I heard he's in thank you. I heard he's in Vegas.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll bump into him. I've heard that he's quite a celebrity there.
Vegas is only 4-hour drive from me. Or, you know, quick flight. You can fly there for like $39, you know.
Wow.
Vegas. Yeah.
How long does it take to fly there?
45 minutes. Right around there, 40 minutes.
But does it make it any quicker because of having to, like, check in earlier and things like that? Does it still apply
to
flight?
If you do all that, you get to the airport, go to security, wait at the gate, the whole blah, 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 get off the airplane, you know, find your way to the exit, get to a car or whatever, you can drive there in 4 hours.
I was going to say.
And then you have a car when you get there. You know, you drive around, you're not, you know, rent a car, Ubering all over the place. If, you know, some people just park in Uber, you can... You, probably not a bad way to do it. But anyway, yeah. it's just for 4 hours, bam, bam. It's a straight shot. You do go across the desert. You go across the not the Sahara. That's what would that be? That's Valley. that's Sahara. No, it wouldn't be
Nevada.
Yeah, yeah. So it is a straight. It's just so if you go like in the afternoon during the warmer months, it can be 115 degrees out there. So make sure your radiator's in good. Yeah. It can 105, 100. You watch if you have an external, exterior, whatever you call it, temperature gauge in your car, and you're driving across that desert, you watch that thing go 88, 92, 95, 98, 102, 103, 101, And the summertime, it could easily get 112. Yeah.
Wow. That's the point. I'd be getting nervous seeing it climb so quickly. I'd be like, please, car.
Yeah,
get me
so you want to make sure your tires and radiator are in good shape. I have an electric car, of course, and I can zip zop around. It doesn't really bother me no matter what I do, where I go.
That's the best way to get there in a Tesla.
Yeah, it is. And I can do it with maybe take one stop. Barstow, California is where the Tesla supercharger is, I think, and you just stop in Barstow and then make your way over to Vegas. One quick stop. It's not even a long stop at that. You charge just a little bit, maybe 20 minutes, and bam, and you're out of here.
Yeah. Wow.
Take a nice trip. Like, oh, life is great.
It drives by itself. You take a break, and, you pee or get a drink or whatever. Get something to eat at the station, see where the supercharger is, whatever. You relax a little bit, get in the car, and it takes you on the rest of the way to Vegas. That's pretty good. It's like riding a train. Oh, it's the best. It's the absolute best. Yeah, really great. Really great. Really. Nice cars, folks. Well, kind of expensive, but if you look at the cost of ownership over years of ownership and the fact that the cars don't lose their value, they don't, try doing that with a Chevrolet, right? It's well worth the investment up front. Yeah, it is well worth it. If you look at
sorry, go on. Go on, sweetie.
No, and also, even to if you go to superchargers, which would be 24 cents and 28 cents per kilowatt, and you have 72 kilowatt battery, whatever, so it costs you $25 to, so to speak, fill her up, quote unquote, top it off with energy. I've got a Ford that would cost $75 to fill up, and I've got a smaller Ford that's $55 to fill up. And the Focus is either free, someplace of free charging, and or $8 here, $15 there, bang, to go $25 to go 300 miles. I mean,
did you say the Focus? You got a Ford Focus?
I have a Focus, I have a Focus.
Oh, I love the Ford Focus.
It's a great car. It's a great car. $55 here in California to fill it up.
Wow, that's really good.
Wow.
What's the fuel cost down there in Mexico?
Oh, do you know what? I don't know because literally I'm not driving. I'm not being driven. We're literally going on foot and by bus, which is absolutely beautiful.
That's kind
of
cool.
The experience of rawness of everything, really connect with Mexico. So that was a personal choice because I could have had a car here. And it was just like, let's do it in style. I'm here to experience what Mexico's like, the culture, everything. Yeah. Let's do it that way.
In that case, you have a horse?
Oh, I would love to have a horse.
We're here to experience what Mexico's like. Oh,
yes.
Wow. Hail silver. Oh, anyway.
Oh, I know, phony. But yeah, so I'm doing it that way. But so I can honestly tell you, Sweetie. I mean, if I see it, I'll inform you guys. I haven't really paid much attention to that, in all fairness. But yeah, the bus is an experience. It really is. I was laughing about it, actually, because I'm sure in the UK and the US is very similar. I mean, the buses here are pretty much like buses you get in the US and the UK. But the only difference is they've got these, like, hard plastic seats. And if you've got a bus driver who likes to be a little heavy on his foot, you kind of, on the brakes, and you kind of slide backwards and forwards on these seats and hold on for dear life.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
But,
holy crap.
Yeah. It's a fun experience when you get used to it.
So, it's like a roller coaster?
Pretty much. And you kind of hope and pray that the bus driver doesn't have a death wish.
Holy smokes. Holy smokes.
Seriously, the traffic. Seeing I've had you know, like these near panic attacks on the bus because I've seen cars cut up the bus, like play chicken with them. And I'm like, are you for real? You literally just skimmed the bus. And I've seen cars on the side of the road in accidents. And it's like, wow, okay, so it makes me nervous about the idea of driving here. Maybe it's a good idea that I didn't. But, yeah, each country is different, aren't they, on the road and how they behave. If you went to Spain, oh, my goodness, in Spain, they don't really care. They take up as much of the road they want. You know, they put their foot down and, you know, really go for it. And so, yeah. It's interesting, the comparisons. But it's a lot of fun. Yeah, groovy.
I have never been to Mexico. It's one place I've never been. I never really had a – I guess when you think of – for me, going to Mexico is like going to one of the resort areas. You know, that's what I'd like to go, you know, go see one. Like. But then you get a bunch of people from the United States going to resort areas. Welcome to Mexico. Yeah. You might as well go to Miami. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
But you're in Monterey. You're like in Mexico. The local culture, the local life experience.
Yeah.
Must be kind of cool.
None of these like touristy kind of spots. And I'm not actually in the center of Monterey either. I'm on the outskirts. So it takes me about 45 minutes to an hour on the bus to get right into the city. And so I'm even experiencing even more the rawness and the culture of Mexico, which is beautiful. And it's so fascinating. And it's taught me a lot about, you know, other countries and the culture differences and the way people are with each other and myself as well. I've learned quite a bit about myself. So, yeah, it's great. Great experience. And I'm very blessed. Very blessed.
Nice.
Thank you. Yeah.
How's your family doing, Amanda, back in the UK?
As far as I know, they're all groovy. Yeah, my sister, bless her, she's been experiencing COVID. and she's had it for over 2 weeks now. Yeah, she keeps testing and it keeps showing up as positive. So she's got a bit of a cough that's not really clearing and, you know, just headaches and tiredness more than anything. But other than that, she's not let it stop her. She's crossed the road into the fields and gone for a walk with a dog to get fresh air, you know, away from everybody.
Good.
And, you know, done her little bit to stay connected and human with the world while she's experiencing this and not putting anybody else in harm's way. And everybody else, I think, is pretty much okay. I try and stay in contact with everybody as much as I can and video calls and photos and stuff like that, and little stories that of my time in Mexico and what's going on there. But, I mean, everything's crazy with the energy prices and, you know, tax on foods going up and fuel and everything else with the economy the way it is. So everybody's feeling the struggle of that in the UK. It's what I've heard. So bless them. And it's going to be interesting to see what I go back to. Kind of nervous about that.
It's going to be
yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, you know, there's a new phenomenon in the United States.
Oh, phenomenon. Okay, what is that?
I don't know.
Oh.
I just thought I would just go along well here.
It's
that really
good, you don't know what it is.
everybody's running in droves. I don't know what it is.
Wow.
Yeah,
I heard there was some sort of a terrorist attack in...
Paris attack?
No, a terrorist attack.
A terrorist attack.
Is it in Israel or somewhere like that? Yeah, the Palestinians and... there's some sort of funky thing going on. I haven't been checking the news as much. It was literally on Twitter earlier today. And, you know, you just catch certain headlines, you're scrolling through. And, of course, the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard thing is all over Twitter. And, of course, Elon Musk has been dragged into it because he had a child with Amber Heard. And he's been put under the microscope about his life and what kind of person he is and his motives in life. It's interesting how when celebrities come up and they're, you know, a big thing splashed everywhere, and then anybody that's ever been connected to them in any way then gets put under that microscope as well. And I kind of feel sorry for Elon Musk at this point. But yeah, he's a good guy. He's a fine guy, isn't he? I quite like him.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's the opinions vary on that. So yeah, I thought about this terrorist attack and more issues with the Russian war and they're bombing more places. And this is sickening, isn't it? It really is. The craziness of stuff going on. Yeah, all that kind of horror.
It's amazing when you read, I don't even stay in touch with the news these days. We used to put on the news and do summaries and do little cards and kind of go over there. Provide our, our 2 cents worth, whatever that was worth here.
Yeah.
And Amanda and I would talk, we spend a lot of shows talking about the news and what it means, what's going on and behind the headlines and trying to, in search of the truth, really, and, trying solutions that would be of the issue as opposed to problems. Let's find the answers to them. And that's kind of been our approach. I got to tell you, I have really not paid much attention to the news. I mean, it's tragic what you hear when you do put on the news. It's one thing after another.
I just
don't remember a time when you just had such discourse to the United States, such horrible things going on in the world since World War II regarding Russia and Ukraine, terrorist attacks, financial things. I mean, just one thing, the splitting of the United States from the Trump administration. We haven't been one in this country, I don't think, since 9/11, where we all stood together, it's really been, and whenever you turn on the news, that's what you see. It's one side versus it's like the presenting sides.
Yeah.
It's like watching a football game,
Yeah.
Like the news has become, every little news story becomes a matter of some kind of has a political angle, Not exclusively, but in general, and not, of course, there are exceptions, but what I'm saying. It just seems that you just see a lot of that, and I just remember ever a time where you just put on the news, and it was just like this person said that, and this did this, and they did this, and they're,
It's true. It's ridiculous, Amanda, isn't it? Yes, darling?
It will drain you what Andy talking about. It's like, dude, it's like, get tired and
exactly.
Positive stuff on the news.
I know. And you don't see much of it, do you, at all?
Yeah. It's like,
I know. It's,
that's why I stand the show to listen to.
And also, some of you might know, may have known that Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, who I'm very fond of, compared to that girl we used to have, I forget, and McEnany, I forget, what was her name? McEnany, something like Ellie? No, she's in the Beverly Hillbillies, not Ellie. Something McEnany. I'm thinking of the girl in Beverly Hillbillies. She should have been press secretary. Man, I would tune her in any day. Jen Psaki, though, or Psaki, however you pronounce her name, I never got that straight. She welcomed the new press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, who will take over the press secretary's role from, I guess, when's that going to start? Next month? Soon? I don't know. Whenever. Anyway, she'll be the first black and LGBTQUSTABCDE. Whatever initials. Thank you. All those initials that go after some people's names now. I mean, now if you don't say enough initials, they say you got to say the whole pronoun, whatever, LGB, whatever. Now you got to say LGBTQRST, all those letters, whatever. I don't even know what they all mean. But I don't know. I'm just, everybody's. I don't wait to label somebody what they are by some initials. Just you're you. I mean, whatever.
Yeah,
it's okay.
You're
you. You know what I mean? I don't care. Whatever. whatever you need to be, however you need to be, whatever you're into, however you need to be into it. That's cool.
It's a beautiful attitude to have, isn't it? I mean, everybody's kind of praising this psychiatrist at the moment that was defending Johnny Depp. She was put on as a witness in the trial to discuss Amber Heard's mental state of mind. And she literally grilled. I mean, she came back at Amber's lawyer, like, shut her down. And everybody all over social media was like, this woman is a legend. Her name is Dr. I can't remember her first name, Dr. Something Curry. And I checked out
Ruth,
her.
Dr. Ruth. It's Dr. Ruth.
Dr. Ruth. Anyway, beautiful woman, absolutely beautiful, very attractive, very smart, and she could literally put this woman in her place. I was stunned. And I checked out her Instagram, and she's got these beautiful pictures up, and she talks about people that are non-binary and all that kind of thing, and she said, here's how to understand what these people are like, you know, in the most positive, welcoming sense. If you're struggling mm-hmm. to understand them and get your head around, because it's confusing for a lot of people, she said, read mm-hmm. this. And I didn't actually read it all the way through. I was busy, you know, mm-hmm. quickly going through Twitter and getting off my ass and doing things. But, yeah, so I was just like, oh.
That's pretty cool. I have part of her testimony yeah. right here. Let me look it up. Amber Heard, O.J. Simpson. No, I am not O.J. and what, here it is. Amber Heard, psychiatrist. Here we go. This is the doctor.
There's no such thing as a G spot.
And there I was thinking he was all serious this time. No, we've been here again. Let down the garden path. Handed a fish sandwich at the end.
And she continued.
Yes. No time for sex.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah. She was. Her testimony was excellent. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very, very, very well respected. Yeah. But that
marvelous.
Whole thing. That. What do you think of that? I mean, I believe her. I mean, I think you know. I believe that. That Johnny Depp had these drunken, drugged out. Crazed,
that's
whatever.
The issue, isn't it? It's mm-hmm. because she's made her. She's an, at the end of the day, and a lot of people will say this. It's always the first thing that people say. She's an actress, mm-hmm. and if she's able to act in a movie and put something across in a more traumatic way, that's gonna, you know, work in her favor. Wouldn't you try to do that? So I'm not saying that what she said isn't true. Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She obviously believes it to be true, or maybe she's just blatantly lying. I don't know at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe that Johnny Depp has been drinking and doing drugs, but he has his own life. He just hasn't done it to the extreme that he has since being with Amber Heard. When he spoke to his previous wives or partners, they would say, you know, they never saw him have such issues and or even touch them physically in any sense, the way that Amber is bringing it across. And there's so many flaws to her story. She's already slipped up multiple times with information saying she hasn't done this and she's never said that, and it's actually documented in the media that she said and done these things. So she's digging herself a very slow and deep grave for herself, I think. And I think Johnny's lawyers are very, very good, very good. And I think they're going to tear her apart on Monday onwards, because the last day of the trial today, they're not over the weekend. So I think that's when all the real excitement in that sense is going to begin with, you know, really digging into her story and finding the holes in it. And
I have the opening questions that Johnny Depp's attorney is going to be asking Amber Heard on the trial Monday.
Yes.
When they begin the cross examination.
I'm preparing myself.
We look into the future here on the show. As you know, we call people from the past, and we can also look into the future. Let me look at this Monday morning trial. Here we go. Amber Heard, Johnny Depp, first question, cross-examination.
What's up, Doc?
That was Amber Heard's lawyer to the psychiatrist.
Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, he said,
he's full of shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That was Johnny Depp.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Oh, fun times.
Yeah.
I say fun. I mean, it's no fun being in their situation, is it? At the end of the day, they both got troubles, and they both got issues that need, looking out for their own benefit as well as those close to them, because it's causing a lot of pain for everybody.
Did you hear that the apartment building security guard's testimony? I've got a tape of that. Let me see. Number set.
Yeah, right.
Not unbelievable. That was unreal. I mean, come on. The guy's in the car. You know, remember, here, let me listen to this.
Hey, Andy, where was this hate at?
Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, yeah.
There are a lot of people all over Twitter saying that Amber is putting every woman that's ever been a victim of domestic violence to shame, because they were comparing her to Rihanna and what she went through with Chris Brown, how, you know, he managed to make her face look badly beaten up, just sat in the car seat, you know, driving, and hit her from the car seat. And yet she's claiming Johnny beat on her the day before, shows a picture of her the next day with hardly a mark on her face, and supposedly had got a broken nose and everything. It's just,
do you know Johnny Depp dated, what was her name, Mona Lisa, way back when.
Oh, really?
Not Mona,
Wow.
Mona Lisa?
What was her name? Madonna. Not Mona Lisa. Madonna. Madonna. Back
really?
In the mid-80s. Yeah, not Mona
Lisa. Wow.
Yeah, and I remember, now don't quote me on this.
Okay.
I believe they had similar issues, says Madonna, way back. During the time of Live Aid, I was at Live Aid in 1985, I think it was, at the Kennedy Stadium in Philadelphia, 100,000 people there. You know, Jack Nicholson was there, Chevy Chase. I remember Jack Nicholson coming out. It was hot as hell. 100,000 people there at Live Aid. Jack Nicholson comes out on stage. We're going to hose you down. And they brought the Philadelphia fire trucks in, and they sprayed. They had these powerful hoses and sprayed all the stadium. You know, it was so hot. But, man, that was one hell of a show. But Johnny Depp was backstage because Madonna came out, you know, on stage. And I don't know what she did, danced or something and sang. I don't know. I forget. But I just remember because she was dating Johnny Depp at the time. This is mid-80s.
Right.
And I remember they had kind of that Madonna said something to the extent, maybe not as great to the extent, but I just remember reading the tabloids at the time about Johnny Depp and how he was with Madonna. And then this is in the mid 80s.
Right. So okay.
Back, but yeah.
Yeah.
So,
oh,
and it's surprising that, but in a court of law, you can't, you know, let's say, you know, the case, it would be irrelevant to say what he may or may have not done with the girl he dated. Decades ago, has no relevance to the case being brought upon the court today.
No,
and therefore,
and
it's not admissible. Yeah.
Yeah, they would argue it's hearsay as well, wouldn't they? If you said,
even if Madonna came up and testified, it wouldn't be irrelevant to what's the matter at hand, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Comes to the forefront in my mind? Anita Hill, Clarence Thomas.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Here's this young, has no reason to jeopardize her reputation, her career, herself, who she is, her identity, by going to Washington and revealing something about this guy and how he conducted himself, you know, prior regarding sexual inappropriateness to her and who knows who else during the time that they worked together. And remember, Arlen Specter just grilled her, and I ended up liking Arlen Specter, but every time I think about how he grilled this poor woman who had nothing to gain, but just, hey, folks, you need to know this. You know, now I'm going to go to Washington and make it up. I'm going to get on national TV and make up some lie, you know. And they just grilled her, and it wasn't about her. It was about men. You know,
I love that show.
Yeah, you know, it just, you know, wow. Is this a man's world, really? You know, in many ways, you know, it's tough for a woman to get out, and I don't know. I feel bad. I don't know. Sometimes I'm embarrassed to be part of the male race. You know, I asked a girlfriend of mine one time because she was very into Now, was a member of the national organization of her. What that stand for? Now, National Organization of Women, right? Yeah, Now. She's very active and in Now. And so we were talking about it. And I said, let me ask you a question, because I'm also very pro-women's rights and very pro-equality. The woman should get paid for the same job and the same task that a man gets paid for. A woman has a baby, a man doesn't. A woman is entitled to maternity leave and you know, all this stuff. I'm very, very pro-women's rights, very much so. And so I asked my girlfriend at the time, why can't a guy who is very, very strongly supportive of women's rights and inequality, I mean, let alone racial inequality, I'm talking about men and women, no matter what color, religion, whatever else you are, you know, just the difference between men and women, period. What is wrong with the guy being like the president of now?
Yeah.
Why can't a guy be? No, isn't that reverse whatever? Like, so you have only a woman could hold office of the National Organization of Women. Why can't a guy hold office who's as supportive of those rights as the women are? But yet he's a guy.
Yes, exactly. You know,
what I'm saying?
You know, women are seen as the vulnerable, needy.
Mm-hmm.
Creatures that are easily damaged, and yes, mm-hmm. okay, I can understand that on one level. I get it. I'm a woman. I understand. Mm-hmm. However, men are just as vulnerable and have the ability to fall under things like domestic violence and all that other stuff. So, you know, I think I don't like the way men immediately get the blame when a woman comes forward and says, this man abused me. And unless there's enough evidence to prove, you know, this guy actually did it, then obviously. I just think that it is rough on men. Just as much as it can be for women, you know.
I remember in the when I was got my commercial licenses and I built up my flight time and I'm qualified for an airline job and I'm out there knocking at doors and more at the economy was really bad at the time and airlines are furloughing pilots and I'm out there trying to find a job and then they started hiring slowly but surely and there was Andy trying to get a gig. I did end up getting jobs, but when I was trying to get a major airline job, folks would tell me, and I heard this repeatedly. You got a couple things going against you. And I'm like, what's that? A, you're not black. B, you're not a woman. And a matter of fact, C, you're not a black woman. If you had any of those things, you'd get hired by an airline tomorrow. And I'm like, well, isn't that reverse discrimination?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Yeah.
That sounds like something JJ would say.
Oh, God. One of these days, we've got to let our audience know what that means. But anyway, don't worry about it. So fast forward to today. Something else. I remember when I was a student. I'm a commercial flight student at a major aviation university. I had a great instructor who was a major in the Air Force, C-141 captain, who became an instructor at the university I attended. I was as an aeronautics and aviation major. So we're taxiing out at a Daytona Beach Regional Airport for takeoff. And the first time in my life, and I'm 18, I must have been, something like that. But anyway, we're taxiing out. And I started flying when I was 16, so I was already been flying. So I heard the first woman air traffic controller in my life. And I heard a woman ground controller, you know, talking to Eastern Airlines and Delta and whoever else and us. And former major Air Force guy, my instructor, turned to me, says, "Don't you know how we dress women in the tower when we're ready to taxi?" And I said, innocently, "No." And he says, "Little flower in the tower, what's the runway of the hour?"
That's so cute.
It is kind of cute.
It is cute.
And now fast forward. Now I'm a jet pilot flying passengers all over the place in commercial jets. And at this time, there's more women flying. You hear more women pilots. I think United was a real pioneer in getting more women aboard at the time, as I recall. Anyway, so I'm flying with a guy. We're kind of new flying together. We get along great. We're friends to this day, actually. And he's a captain. I'm a first officer. And I'm in the right seat. We're flying airplanes on autopilot up at altitude, flying coast to coast, whatever it might be. And we hear United woman pilot checking in, you know, to air traffic control center. And he looks at me after the woman checks it, and he looks at me and says, "There goes another empty kitchen." I'm like,
what?
Oh. And I didn't say anything.
I've heard that.
I didn't say anything. I knew he was joking. He's a real good guy. But you know, he said it as part of the, you know. But it just, you know, if you don't hear a guy checking in with New York Center and then another pilot saying, "There goes another empty bowling alley."
Yeah.
You know, all right, there goes another empty baseball field or another whatever, I don't know.
No, there goes I know another, what you're saying, But I think men would be complaining just as much if women chose something very stereotype about women, men, sorry, and, you know, mm-hmm. were saying it all the time about men. They'd be like, oh, here mm-hmm. she goes again.
Yeah, I've got I've got a recording of a Delta captain here talking to the passengers here. Wait, listen to this. Tom, wait, here we go.
I got something to do. I got to go do boom, boom, boom.
That's a plane I'm never getting on. That sounds like a spirit plane. My spirit. No, I'm just joking.
Because we take, you know, as we said,
we choose truth over facts.
We do. Mm-hmm. Yes, we try to.
Over fact, not fact, mm-hmm. fact.
Folks, we do have some minutes to get on board our show if you'd like to dial this
number. 303-330 or 303-330.
Yep, Andy and Amanda show here Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. Block Talk Radio. We're here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you want to dial that number if you want to dial Egypt.
Or Mars.
Yeah, right. 3-3-3-0-3.
Oh, my goodness. It was a fun time on this show. It really is.
It is.
Isn't it great?
We have so much love. Oh, doesn't he sound like he's had one too many?
Yes, or he's extremely tired and bored and not really meaning what he's saying.
I don't know. Oh, here we go. Yeah.
He just got out of bed. The sun is shining. He got more energy.
Yes. Yeah, it's just a fun time. It's a fun time. We're back here on Monday, 9 p.m. New York. What's that? Eastern Daylight Time. 9 p.m. Our numbers, I want to tell you guys that our numbers, both live broadcasts and the podcast, which is what happens to our show after we're finished. It goes right on to get distributed. You can't call in, obviously. You can't call in the podcast show. We might try that one day to actually do a live podcast. We can call into a podcast. We haven't done it yet, but we're looking at it.
Yes.
But we are up 30% over the previous 14 days.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm. And over the past month, we were up 41.4%.
Wow.
So, yeah.
The numbers are growing and expanding.
Just 2,701 downloads on our podcast. Thank you, folks. Really.
Yes. Seriously, that literally lifts us up and motivates us.
And do you know what I have to do to sit here and download our show 2,000 times?
You press a button.
And I want to say that an increasing number of our podcast downloads are occurring in Thailand.
Yeah.
Wow.
And also Ireland. Ireland and Thailand.
Oh,
Ireland.
Sure.
So welcome aboard, you guys hearing the podcast around the world. You're downloading it. I'm not sure what. Let us know. AndyDemandYourShow@gmail.com. Do us a favor. Just open up your email account real quick. Pop us a quick note. Tell us where you are in the world, what platform you downloaded our show. Would you do that for us? It would be great help to us if we knew, because we know we're getting a lot of downloads all over the world. We have 22 countries that tune in live or who have tuned in live, as the case may be. We'd like to know more about you. Who are you? And thank you for listening. We're about ready to wrap this show up. I can't believe this hour flew by on this Friday. Wishing everybody a great weekend and a really good time. And I was going to play music, but our I know. But you know, it is Friday, but every day is
special when you spend it with people you love.
Oh,
it is.
That's That being said, let's get out of here. Everybody have a great weekend. Amanda, you have the best of all weekends. Enjoy it down there. Have a great time.
You.
Cornell, all the best to you. Get us out of here so we can go enjoy.
Guys.
We'll
okay,
enjoy
well,
now.
You have a great weekend also, my boys. And to everybody listening, have a great weekend also. So on behalf of Andy Gimbel, myself, Amanda Love, and Cornell Butler, thank you so much for being with us. We love you guys. Thank you for supporting us. And join us again on Monday. Have a great one. Keep smiling.
Woo-hoo. It's the weekend.
Let's do
you
it.
You bet. And have an extra margarita. Think of us when you have that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Let's get out of here. See you, folks.
Bye.
Take care.
Adios. Brotherhood of man. Imagine.